Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Ayin Zayin. Today's shir is sponsored by the Hertz family in loving memory of their grandfather, Mr. Leslie Hertz, Eliezer ben Yeshaya, whose yard site is today, the 12th day of Av, the Neshama Shel Aben Aliyah. We thank the Hertzes very much for the sponsorship. We left off in Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. We're all the way up on the page in Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, but as you can see, Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph is a pretty short daf, at least if you don't read Tosos, so we should be able to catch up fairly easily. We're in the middle of a discussion about Kala Omed Le is Ki, and the reason we got into that discussion is the Gemara raised the question of why it is that a person would ever be Chayiv Dal Vehe for Shechting Kachim if after all Kachim is a Shechita She'en Ru'uya. You're not going to be allowed to eat it when you shecht it, because it's still Kachim, so it's a Shechita She'en Ru'uya. So the Gemara had suggested three different possibilities. Two of them were versions of Rabbi Yochanan, that in either Rabbi Yochanan says that you're shechting a regular animal that's not a balmum, a kachim animal rather, that's not a balmum, bifnim l'shem the bailim, or bifnim shalo l'shem the bailim. Sorry, the Gemara's question was it's shechita shein ruya because you're shechting kachim, mistam you're shechting a pachutz. So Rabbi Yochanan's answer is you're shechting a bifnim, and therefore it's a shechita haru'uya. Reish Lakish's answer, though, was that who says that it's not a balmum? Maybe it is kachim, but it's a balmum, and you're shechting it b'chutz, and that's why it's a shechita haru'iya. So the Gemara had asked the question that granted, when you shecht kachim that's a balmum b'chutz, ultimately you might be allowed to eat it, but it needs pidyon. You still need to be able to be podit. And granted, Rabbi Yochanan, that when you shecht the karban that's not a balmum bifnim, that it's a shechita ru'iya and that you'll be allowed to eat it, but that's only if it has zrika. So how can you say that it's shechita ru'ya? It's a shas shechita. Something else still needs to be done. According to Rabbi Yochanan, zrika still needs to be done. Even in Reish Lakish's answer, pediyah still needs to be done. So that's what the Gemara we left off with yesterday said, that kala omed lizrok is kizaruk dami. Since it's omed lizrok, zrika is supposed to be done and will be done, it's as if it's already been done, and kala omed liftos kipadu dami. So that's what we're going to discuss today. First, we're going to show how we know the concept that Rabbi Shimon holds of the concept of kala omed lizrok is kizaruk dami, and then we're going to show how he knows kala omed liftos is kipadu dami. He's going to base that on the din of para aduma, and then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss why Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan each reject each other's opinion. That's why it's important to remember that this whole thing is about Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Today's daf is very much built off of yesterday's daf. That machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. And then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether an animal has to be eligible for mechira in order to be chayiv for tvicha. How much do we say tvicha and mechira go hand in hand? That if an animal is not eligible for mechira, then you're not going to be chayiv dalet vehei for tvicha either? Or do we say that they're somewhat independent from each other? So let's begin with Kala Omed Lizro Kizaruk Dami, about the 6th-7th line on the page. We had left off by saying that Rabbi Shimon has this principle that Kala Omed Lizro is Kizaruk Dami and Kala Omed Liftos is Kipadui Dami. And we had mentioned the Chasam Sofer about the woman shaving her head, right? This has many applications in a lot of different places in Halacha. So it says, Kala Omed Lizro Kizaruk Dami, Ditanya. We have a Braisa that shows us this sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that something that's Omed Lizro is as if it's already Zaruk. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Nosar Shumitami Tumas Ochlin. Sometimes something can become Nosar, carbon meat that's left over beyond its proper time, so it becomes Nosar, you're not allowed to eat it. Yet, sometimes the Nosar is still going to have Tumas Ochlin. In order for something to have Tumas Ochlin, to be subject to Tumas Ochlin, it needs to be a Meichel, it needs to be a food, it needs to be something that one could theoretically eat. So sometimes Nosar is considered a Meichel, that even though it's Nosar, it's considered a food. And sometimes you have nosar that's not considered a meichel, it's not considered a food at all. Ketzad, how do you have nosar that sometimes yes, sometimes no? Lun lefnei zrika, einu matami tumas ochlin. If it became nosar, it stayed overnight before you ever did the zrika, so then it's not matami tumas ochlin, because it never had a moment where it could have been eaten. It can't be eaten until after the zrika, so that's why it's not matami tumas ochlin. La'achar zrika, but if it only becomes nosar, it's only left overnight after you already did the zrika on the karban, then mitami tumas olchin, then it can become tame tumas olchin because it had a moment where you were able to eat it. V'kaimelon, and we say about that, my lefnei zrika, when we speak of lefnei zrika, we don't mean lefnei, the actual zrika. It's not, it doesn't mean literally that if it stayed overnight before the zrika was done. It really means kodem shenira lezrika, that if the lina happened, it was left overnight, before it ever became ro'oi for zrika, that's when it's not metami tumas olchin. And la'achar zrika means la'achar shenira lezrika, that even if zrika was never actually done, but it was ra'ui for zrika, that's enough to label this food as ochel, to label this korban as ochel, and therefore even if it subsequently becomes nosar, it's still metame tumas ochlin. Kodem sheniru lezrika lan maihi, what does it mean that it wasn't ra'ui for zrika, that it stayed overnight before it was ever ra'ui for zrika? What makes an animal ra'ui for zrika? It means the lohav yishos piyom lemizrika deshachtei samal kishkiyas achama, that not being ra'ui lezrika means that at the time they shachted it, there wasn't time for zrika, because they shachted right up against shkia, so there was never a point in time where they could have done zrika, and therefore it never became an ochel. But ve'inu matami tumas ochlin, so sam matami tumas ochlin. La'achar sheniru lezrika lan means da hav yishos biyom lemizrukei matami tumas ochlin, that there was time that they could have done zrika, even though they never actually did zrika, and that's enough to be matami tumas ochlin. Why? Why is that enough? If they never actually did the zrika, it's just that they could have done it. That's exactly our point. Al makalom edizrok kizaruk dami. You see from there that anything that's omid lizrok is already considered kizaruk dami. Now Tosfos over here brings up two yesodos in Valos Rika Materes. Tosfos brings up two yesodos in this rule of kala omid lizrok is kizaruk dami and kala omid whatever is ki ilu, it's done already. One yesodi suggests is that we only say this when that which the you're waiting for it to happen, that which it's omid to happen, is an actual mitzvah. That you have a mitzvah d'oraisa that's supposed to be done, like zrika. Zrika is an actual mitzvah. So since there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of zrika, that's what makes it omeid leh. It's specifically because there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Tiferes Yisrael says, based on that, we can understand the Rambam. The Rambam in the Pirushim Shnayis from Maseches Pesachim says that a chatzia v'chatzi ben chorin cannot eat the korban pesach of his master mishum mishnah achrona, that you're chayv to mishachar him. So he says, so he shouldn't be able to eat his own korban pesach either, because kol omid l'shtachar is k'mashuchar adami. How could he eat his own either? Because he's already considered like he's mashuchar. So he says, no, we only say kol omid l'shtachar when there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Over here, when you have a chatzia v'chatzi ben chorin, you don't say he's omeid leh, he's omeid l'shechur, because there's no mitzvah d'oraisa to be m'shachar. Even though that's what we recommend doing in the end, it's machlokos b'shem b'silil, it's one of the machlokos where chazur b'silil holds k'divrei b'shamai, but still it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa to do so. So that's one yisod of Tosos. Second yisod of Tosos is that we, and this is what we mentioned yesterday, that Chassam Sofer makes a big deal out of, that we only say this when it's supposed to be omeid to happen without another Maisa happening in between. That it's omeid to happen miyad, there's no other step that has to happen for the next anticipated event to occur. But if you still need, for example, Kabbalah Sadam Bikos, you haven't done a Kabbalah Sadam, then you can't call it Omid Lizrika. It's only Omid Lizrika when the Kabbalah has already been done. Yeah, it has to be that there's no other Maisa in between. And based on that, the Tiferes Yisrael says we can answer the Kash of Rabbi Kiva Eger, that Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, why Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Tanakama when he says that someone who's a Menuya L'Chabura to Shech L'Karman Pesach is allowed to be Moshe Chideyan, is allowed to pull himself off of the group that's designated for that Karban Pesach until they do Zrika Sadam. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion, as opposed to the Tanakama who says until they do the actual Shechita. But you don't have to wait till but once the Shechita is done, the Zrika Sadam once the Shechita is done, it's already too late. You know, it's not only at the Zrika Sadam that it's too late. L'chore, even according to Rabbi Shimon, from the Shas Shechita, it's already Omeid Lizrok, and therefore it should be Kezorok Dami. So even Rabbi Shimon, who says Mishas Shechita you could be Moshech, so the Mishas Rika you could be Moshech, should say Mishas Shechita. You could only till Shas Shechita you could be Moshech, because the second you have Shechita, it's only the Zrika. So Mela, it's already at the Zrika. So it says it's very soul. No, it's not. because you still need to do Kabbalah in order for it to be Omid Lizrok. Omid Lizrok only works when there's nothing else to be done in between. And that's the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanna Kamma. Tanna Kamma says Ad She Yishchot. Rabbi Shimon would say Ad She Yizrok doesn't mean literally Ad She Yizrok, because you only needed Omid Lizrika, but it means Ad She Tekabel, at least until you do a Kabbalah Sadam. And as we pointed out yesterday, that Yisod is what the Chassam Sofer works out in terms of the Kalos that have that practice of shaving their head. That whenever there's another Maisa in between, that's not called Omid Le. And the Chassam Sofer brings as a riot to this, the halach is that a Nazir becomes Tamei, is Tovel B'Shvi'i U'Megaleach B'Shmini. He goes to the mikvah on the seventh day, and then he shaves again on the eighth day to restart his Nazirus. But if you're going to say Kol Omid is Le, is Kis, so how shouldn't his hair be Chatzitza? It's Omid the Gazes, he has to do the Giluach the next day. So you have to say that, no, since there's another Maisa that has to happen in between, Memel, it's not considered Kol Omid Le, is Kis. That's the Yisod of Tosos. The Ramah, the Rishon, Reish Mem Hei, the Ramah, quoted in the Shittim Kvetz, says when Rabbi Shimon says Kol Omid Lizrok is Kazarik Dami, Kol Omid Liftos is Kapadli Dami, it doesn't mean that, meaning, how literally do you take that? Should we say, okay, so don't do the Zrika, because it's Kazarik Dami, it's already been done, it's as if it was Zarik. You don't need a Pidyon anymore, because it's Kapadli Dami, anything that's Omid Liz is Ki. So that's what the Ramah points out, and the Achronim point this out as well, is that we don't say it in terms of the item itself. We say it in terms of other halachos that relate to the item, but in terms of, you know, what the item requires itself, we don't say Kol Omid Le is Ki. So you're not going to say that even though that there was no Zrika Sadam, it's as if the Zrika Sadam already happened and the Basar should be Mutar Ba'achila. It's, we view it as if it's Ro'i La'achila, and like Ochel, that you're able to feed to people and could become Tamei Tumas Ochlin, because there was a Zman that's Ro'i L'Zrika. The Chassam Sofer elaborates on that a little bit, that on the item itself, that mikocho omeid lekach, that because of that item it's omeid to have the next step, we don't say kol omeid is ke. We only say it with regard to other things, like shiurim, kol omeid lisrof is kesarv dami kitusei mechta shiurim. We have such a concept in Masecha Sukkah, Masecha Zerivin, that anything that's omeid lisrof, it's as if it's already burnt, and therefore it doesn't have the full shear. So we don't say that that because of that there's no mitzvah sreifa, that avodah zara, you don't have to be sorev, because kol omeid lisrof is kesarv dami. No, we're saying legabe other halachos that would apply to it, such as a shear, is that it doesn't have a proper shear, because we view it as if it's already dust, as if it's already completely burnt. That's the concept, and that's why they have trouble understanding the kasha of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi has a kasha in his tshuvas. He says, how does a person ever yotze lecha mishnah? It's omei lachtoch, so you never have shlemos. So because you're supposed to, it's omei to be cut. The breads are omei to be cut, so you never have two kikars. So no, of course they are, they're shlemos, but that's legabe the item itself. So they're still considered to be shlemos. So the kasha is a strange kasha, because obviously you don't say kol omeid liz ki in the fullest sense. Okay, now the Gemara says two lines on the bottom of the page on ayin vav and beis v'kol omeid liftos kepadui dami. And where do we learn this din of kol omeid liftos is kepadui dami, that which is omeid to be redeemed, it's as if it's already redeemed? Ditanya from the following brisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Para mitame tumas ochlin hol v'haisala shasa kosher. A para aduma is mitame tumas ochlin, is considered like a food, even though you never eat the para aduma. After you shacht it, you put it on a maracha and you burn it. You put it on a pile of wood and you burn the whole thing and you turn it to ashes, and then you use those ashes to be a matara person. So nevertheless, it's still going to be mitame tumas ochlin, because there was a shasa kosher where it could have been eaten, as Rashi says, davila shasa kosher lechol mishenishch. At that point, after the shechita, before you burnt it, it could have theoretically been eaten, and therefore it has a shas hakosher. Va'amrei Shlakish, Omer Hayi Rabbi Shimon, Para niftes al gabe ma'arachasa, that Reish Lakish explains, because Rabbi Shimon holds that you could always be poda, that para aduma, while it's sitting on the ma'aracha before you burnt it. It already had a shechita, so you could be poda it, and if you're poda it, you could eat it. You'll replace it with a different para. Sa'alma kolomi liftos kapodi dami. But bottom line is, you never were poda it. Meaning, even if you never were poda it, still we say it's going to have tumas ochlin. Why is it going to have tumas ochlin? You never did the pidyon. Sa'alma kolomi liftos kapodi. kapadri dami. That's how we see that kolomei liftos is kapadri dami. That since it could have been niftes, even though it wasn't actually niftes, it's as if it was already kadri. So the Tosos raises a question. There's a long Tosin, obviously, over here in Amud Aleph. Amongst the other questions that Tosos raises the question, why doesn't Rabbi Shimon just say that it's metamit masochlin, even without any heksher or anything else, because of chibas hakodesh? We have a concept that even eitzim, even wood, or lavona, which is an inedible spice, that even these things can be metamit masochlin, because chibas hakodesh is machshir them. It's they don't even need heksher, they don't need... Because the chibas hakodesh, they're so beloved because they're kodesh. So Tosus raises the question: why don't we say the same thing over here? Normally we only say pekache mizbeach, and over here it's not kache mizbeach, but the Torah calls the paraduma chatos. So shouldn't that be enough to qualify it for chibas hakodesh being machshir? So Tosus quotes in the name of the Ri that we only say chibas hakodesh to take something that's not an ochel and make it like an ochel. Afar, Eitzim, Lavona, they're not Mekabli Tumma because they're not food. So that's where Chibas HaKodesh works, to take something that's not food and make it considered as if it is food. But something that is food, it is a food item, it's just that it's not Mekabli Tumma because it can't actually be eaten, Chibas HaKodesh is not going to help for that, to take away the Isser Hanna'ah that you have on that item, and therefore make it something that could become Tameh, Tumas Ochlin. The Rashba and the Ran suggest a slightly different answer, that we don't say Chibas HaKodesh by Para, just to say that the Para is not considered as if it's already burnt, like Kolom Elis of Kesarov, and Chibas HaKodesh doesn't make something that's not an Ochel like an Ochel, meaning over here the Chibas HaKodesh would have to make it that it's that something that's only to be burnt is not burnt. That's not what Chibas HaKodesh does. Chibas HaKodesh only takes something that's not an Ochel to make it an ochel, but doesn't go anywhere beyond that. Now we had said that according to Rabbi Shimon, the paras niftes al gabe ma'arachasa. What does that mean? Paras niftes al gabe ma'arachasa. If you could imagine such a thing, paraduma is not exactly the most common occurrence. But let's say they found a paraduma and it was a weakling little cow. They can't work with it. It can't get much exercise. So they're careful that it doesn't get a mum. So you know they keep it pretty much locked up and they're very careful. They handle it with kid gloves. So it's probably not the most beautiful cow, but it's red. So they find a paraduma, they shecht it, they put it on the maracha, and then as they're about to burn it, they find another paraduma that's more beautiful, a nicer paraduma. That's the only motivation to be poda a paraduma. How are you poda a paraduma? Why in the world would you ever be poda a paraduma? You know, valuable. No, they found another one, so they want to use the other one instead of this first one. That's what the case is. Now the Gemara in Shavuos tells us that the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Shimon. They hold that once the par is shechted, al gabe marachasa, it doesn't have pidyon liolam. It can never be niftes. So the Rishonim explain what they're arguing about. The Ramban and the Rashba quote from Rashi that the svara is that lev based in masna alayan, that if you find a yafa mimena, you find a nicer one, they should be able to be poda. That even though, really strictly speaking, you shouldn't be able to be poda, but lev based in masna alayan, that if you find a nicer one, you should be able to be poda. Chacham Tzvi writes in the tshuva that you see Yisod about Hidr Mitzvah from here. That one might have thought, you know, Hidr Mitzvah is that when I'm going to buy an Esrog, I should buy the nicest Esrog. That's for sure true. You should buy whatever the nicest one you could buy within reason. Ad Shlish, up until a third above the regular price. You don't have to go crazy to spend all your money, but within reason, you buy the nicest one available to you for the right price. But what if I already bought one? What if I already have one? Is there a mile in Hidr Mitzvah or a requirement in Hidr Mitzvah if I come across a nicer one to go take the nicer one? So the truth is, some of the Rishonim say that's what Hidr Mitzvah Shlish means. That if I already bought one and I see a nicer one, it depends how much more expensive the nicer one is. Meaning, because to say Hidr Mitzvah Shlish, you have to set a baseline. So what's the meaning? Ad Shlish is a percentage, 33% more or 50% more, depending whether you understand Shlish Milgav or Shlish Milavar. You have to spend X percentage more than what? So some of the Rishonim say, than the bare minimum kosher one. If the bare minimum kosher esrog is $20, so you need to spend a shlish more. But other Rishonim say, no, the baseline is set by what you initially spend. So you buy an esrog, now you set the baseline. If you come across a nicer one, you'd have to buy the nicer one up until one shlish more. But the Chacham Tzvi says, one might have thought that there's no Indian whatsoever of it. I already have my mitzvah. Why do I have to go looking for something else? So he says that that even if you're able to be mekayim with the mitzvah with that which is less mehudar, and you already have, and he gives the example, you already have an esrog. We see that the whole machlokas Rabban and Rabbi Shimon is if you're able to be poda the para, whether it's already whether it's too late to be poda the para would be a gnai to this para because you already began the whole process of turning it into a para aduma. But let's say the process didn't begin, you didn't do the mitzvah yet, you didn't start the mitzvah yet. So then there's still an inyan of hiddur to go and find a nicer one. That's what the Chacham Tzvi wants to suggest. Another point to make over here, Rav Elchanan, the Kovetz Shiurim, points out that Tosos has a yisod that we don't say kol omeid li is ki unless there's a mitzvah lasos ki. Remember, we had two yisodos from Tosos. The first yisod was we only say kol omeid li is ki when that which you're supposed to do is a mitzvah, because only then. Only, and the svara is, only then do we say it's really omeid li, because it's a mitzvah, of course you're going to do it. Otherwise, if it's not a mitzvah, how do I know it's omeid to have this happen? Maybe you're not actually going to go through with it. Only when it's a mitzvah are we confident that of course it's going to happen. Now, over here, you're going to say it's omeid liftos, that a paral gabe maracha is omeid, it's a vadai, that it's omeid liftos? Very strange. I mean, if you hold like that, shita satosvos, that you only say omeid li if it's a mitzvah to do it. And the svara for Tosos is that when it's a mitzvah, we're confident that it's for sure going to happen. Well, then a pidyon of a para aduma is far from certain that it's going to happen. What are the chances that they're going to find another para aduma to be podas? A strong kasha that Rav Elchanan asks. One final point before we go further. Rav Nassan Gestetner in the Tshuva and Lahoros Nassan, Chelek Dalel Simchas, discusses netilas yadayim with water that looks like it's cloudy water, looks like it's dirty water, but it's not really dirty. It's that they put chemicals in the water to remove any diseases or anything like that. And if you let the water settle for a while, it will ultimately clear up. So the halach is you're not supposed to do until sedayim with dirty water. If it doesn't look like water, if it's not clear, you're not supposed to do until sedayim with such water. Can you do until sedayim with water that you know is omeid le to clear up? That's his shaila. So in his tshuva, he discusses, based on what our Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shimon, that kol min lizrok is kazar gdami, and the Chasam Sofer and Tosos, that if it doesn't require another maisa, it's just going to happen on its own, then it's as if it's already done. So he says, since this tarovis, it's going to settle down in a short period of time, by itself, it's as if it's already cleared up, and therefore you're allowed to use it. Then he says, but maybe that svara is not such a good svara, because Tosos in Dibra Maskel Para, over here on Amar Aleph, says that we don't say this klal of kol omeid lasos is ka'asu dami by something that's a bal chai to consider it like an ochel. Meaning you don't say that an animal that's omeid lishchot, it says it's already mitami to mesochlin when it's alive, because it's omeid lishchot, and once you shecht it, it's going to be mitami to mesochlin. You don't say such a thing, because it's a bal chai, it's too big of a change. From a bal chai to a piece of meat, those are very different things. So he says, maybe since the water is going to be, it's going to physically change, it's not just that there's something to be done to it, but the item itself, the chefza itself, is going to go from being A to being B, so maybe that's we wouldn't say the svar of kolomid le is ki. But then Rav Nassim Gestetner says he doesn't think those are the same at all. To take a bal chai and to turn it into a piece of meat is a much bigger change than to take water and turn it into clear water. He points out that kolomid le kasadami doesn't turn a bal chai to food, because the svarat is the way he formulates it is the svar of kolomid le is not strong enough to do two separate actions, to take away the shem bal chai and to give it a shem ochel, that it's no longer a bal chai and that it's an ochel. But by a shinui mara of water, since the water is not considered, it's not like right now it's orange juice and you need to take away the shem orange juice and give it the shem water. That's not what's going on over here. It's water right now. It's just that it's not any other drink right now. You just need the shem mayim to be chal. So the shem mayim to be chal that you could have have that kolomid liz enough to do, enough to make the shem mayim be chal on it without anything else. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Now that we have established that Rabbi Shimon holds kolo omed lizrok is kazarb dami and kol nishkos kashach and kolo omed liftos is kapadu dami. So now we go back to that initial machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. What were they arguing about? Why is it that you're ever going to be chayiv dalet vehei on shchita of a behemas kachim when you're shechting a behemas kachim mistami, you're shechting outside the Beis Hamikdash? That's a shchita shein ruuya. It's lo shma shchita. That shouldn't be called a shechita at all. That's assuming, like Rabbi Shimon, that a shechita shein ruya doesn't count for shechita to be chayiv dalet vehei. So we had two basic answers. Rabbi Yochanan, who said, no, you're shechting it in the Beis HaMikdash. It's tamimim, and you're shechting it in the Beis HaMikdash. It's just that you never did the zrika, and therefore it wasn't all l'bayil l'mashem chova, because the blood spilled out before you ever did the zrika. Reish Lakish says, no, we're talking about a balmum. So you shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. It's a shechita ruya to shecht the balmum outside the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the... that's the machlokas between the two of them. So says the Gemara, third line from the top, Ayin Zayin and Beis Bishlam, Rabbi Yochanan Lomar, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Dekabai Lukum, and Asnis Nafil B'Tamimin. I understand why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't want to say like Reish Lakish, because he wants to be able to explain the Mishnah to be talking about even a behemah that's not a Balmum, even Tamimin. Ela Reish Lakish, my time, Lomar, Rabbi Yochanan. But why doesn't Reish Lakish want to say like Rabbi Yochanan? Here, Rabbi Yochanan has a great answer. We could be talking about a Tamimin, we could be talking about an animal that's not a Balmum, you're shechling a Bifnim. And the reason it's considered stealing from the Bailim rather than being Ola Lebailim Hashem Chava is because the Zrika never got done, the blood ultimately spilled out. So he says, Amar Lach Utvacho Mucharo. Reish Lakish holds a different Svara, that since the Torah says, Yechayev Dalvei, if you either shecht it or sell it, those two are very much connected to each other. Kol Hecha Di Isei B'Mechira, Isei B'Tvicha. V'Kol Hecha Di Leisei B'Mechira, Leisei B'Tvicha. Only an animal that could theoretically be sold is subject to tvicha, which to be chayiv dalvei, subject to be chayiv dalvei for shchita. But if it couldn't be sold, then it's not subject to be chayiv dalvei for the tvicha. V'hani kachim, and when it comes to behemas kachim, hold the chimazbin kachim lo havi mechira, memele it's going to be less nu b'tvicha. Since if you were to try to sell the behemas kachim, it would not be a valid mechira, memele the shchita is not going to count either. And this is lishitasam, Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish lishitasam, in terms of something that's roi lishchita, that's not in the other direction. If you have an animal that's not roi lishchita, do we consider it that you can be chayiv for the mechira? Because they say ditmar mocher treifa. Let's say you sell a behemah that's a treifa. Treifa is not roi for shchita. It's roi for mechira, but it's not roi for shchita. L'divrei Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a shechita shein ruya is not called a shechita for dalvei, Rabbi Yochanan amar chayiv, Reish Lakish amar pater. So if you sell it, Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, you're allowed to sell a treifa, so you're still going to be chayiv dalvei. And Reish Lakish says, no, you're going to be pater on dalvei for selling a treifa. Now shechting a treifa, I get, it's a shechita shein ruya, so you can't, you're not going to be chayiv dalvei for shechting a treifa. But why not for selling a treifa? So Rabbi Yochanan amar chayiv, Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, you're going to be chayiv for selling a treifa. You're right, you can't, according to Rabbi Shimon, shech the treifa, it's a shechita shein ruya, you're not going to be chayiv for that, but what does that have to do with mechira? You should still be able to sell the treifa. Reish Lakish amar pater, kivin d'leisei b'tvicha, leisei b'mechira. Reish Lakish says, no, you're pater, because the two go hand in hand. If you can't do a shechita on it, memele you're not going to be chayiv for a mechira on it either. So when it comes to behema of kachim, you can't do a mechira. You can't be chayv dalavei for a mechira, so mela, you're never going to be chayv dalavei for a tvicha. And the reverse is true by a treifa, that it's since you can never be chayv dalavei for a tvicha, mela, you're never going to be chayv dalavei for a mechira either. So that's the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish in terms of how connected the tvicha and the mechira have to be with each other. Why would they be connected with each other? So one of the achronim, according to the Masifta, the Nachlas Yoshua, suggests that it doesn't say umachar, it says umcharo, that you sell it. Sounds like it's going on the tvacho. The same animal that you would have shechted, you sell. So it sounds like that it's creating a connection, that it has to be that same animal that you would have shechted, you're also able to sell. So so you have to have both options available to you in order to be chayiv. Now Tosfos raises the question: so why is it that if someone sells on Shabbos, he's chayiv dal vehei? If after all, if you were to shecht an animal on Shabbos, you wouldn't be chayiv dal vehei. Meaning, if you hold like Rish Lakish, that the two go hand in hand, and that if you're not chayiv dal vehei for one, merely you're not going to be chayiv dal vehei for the other. So if you shecht an animal on Shabbos, you're not going to be chayiv dal vehei. We already saw in the Mishnah like that. So if you sell an animal on Shabbos, you shouldn't be chayiv dal vehei either. Asks Tosos in Dibur Maskel Kol, right? He says a mocher b'Shabbos to chayiv af gavdim tavach pater. He says ahi behema isa b'tvicha b'chol. Suggest the behema is subject to tvicha. It just happens to be that it's Shabbos, not today. It's not subject to tvicha. But normally you would be chayiv dalvei on this behema. So mele on this behema, you could be chayiv b'mechira. In the Tosfos Ben Peretz, they suggest a different answer that by Shabbos it's also b'tvicha. You could be chayiv dalvei for on Shabbos, but if it's shechter on Shabbos, as long as you're not the one that does the shechita. Shechita al yidei acher. Remember we had that case as well. You ask someone else to do the shechita. In shlech dvar averi, he's the one that gets the avera for the shechita, so he's the one that's chayiv misa, but for the fact that you asked him to do the shechita, so that's that makes it your dalad vehei, so you can be chayiv dalad vehei for a shechita of a behema on Shabbos. Memeli, you can be chayiv dalad vehei for a mechira of a behema on Shabbos as well. In fact, that's such a good answer, the Achronim are bothered, why didn't Tosfos say that answer? Why does Tosfos have to say, oh, this behema, the chefza is subject to tvicha, just not today. You have better, even today it's subject to tvicha, as long as you do it, al yidei acher. So in the Darkei David, he suggests, based on what the Mishnah Melech writes, that it's dafka if you make the guy a shliach stam to shecht for you, and then he chooses to shecht on Shabbos, only then are you chayv dal vehei. But if you made him a shliach to dafka shecht on Shabbos, then you're going to be put from dal vehei as well. So since it's not within your control to be chayv dal vehei for a tvicha on Shabbos, because you can't ask him to shecht on Shabbos and still be chayv dal vehei, so that's why Tosfos doesn't want to say that answer. He's trying to come up with an answer that would work for across the board. And over here, according to that Mishnah Melech, if you ask him to shechter on Shabbos, you're not going to be chayiv dalad vehei. Okay, so we have this fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, how connected tvicha and mechira have to be to each other. According to Reish Lakish, if something is not subject to tvicha, like a behem of treifa, so mele you're not going to be chayiv dal vehei with mechira either, and if something is not subject to mechira, like kachim, so mele you're not going to be chayiv dal vehei for tvicha either. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the two can work independently of each other. So Eisvei, Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish, what about the following? Gun of klayim. You steal an animal that's klayim, that's a mixed breed, v'tavcha, and then you shecht it, trefa umchara, or you steal an animal that's a trefa and you sell it, mishalim tashlumi abrava chamisha, you pay dalad vehei. So, my love, Rabbi Shimon, clearly this price is assuming like Rabbi Shimon, because when it spoke about dealing with a stolen trefa, it specifically said that you sold it. Only Rabbi Shimon would have to say that. According to the Rabbanan, when you steal a treifa, whether you shecht it or sell it, you're chayiv dalvei. It's only Rabbi Shimon who says, shechita sheinu ruya, zlo shma shechita, that with a treifa, the only possibility of being chayiv dalvei is a mechira. But shechting it, you're not going to be chayiv dalvei. But what do you see that Rabbi Shimon holds? That even though if you were to shecht the stolen treifa, you're not going to be chayiv dalvei. If you sell it, you are chayiv dalad vehei. So once you assume that this price that we're quoting is authored by Rabbi Shimon, this is a bam kasha on Reish Lakish. Because you see, even Rabbi Shimon, who holds that you're not going to be chayiv dalad vehei for a shechita of the animal, because it's a treifa, would still say you are chayiv dalad vehei for a mechira of the animal. So alma alfagav delesi b'tvicha isei b'mechira. Big fat question mark on Reish Lakish. So amar lei, Reish Lakish say, lo, Rabbanan, who says that it's going like Rabbi Shimon? Maybe that price reflects the sheet of the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan taka hold that even a treifa, if you were to shecht it, you'd be chayiv dalvei. That's why if you sell it, you're chayiv dalvei as well. The Gemara, but wait a second, I Rabbanan, if it's going like the Rabbanan, treifa b'mechira isa b'zvicha lesa, why would it say that you steal the treifa and you sell it? Why not say you steal the treifa and you shechted it? According to the Rabbanan, that would also work. So it says Gemara, so what? You want to say Rabbi Shimon? That means that it must be going like Rabbi Shimon? But look at the first example it gave. First example it gave is you stole the behemoth of Klayim and you shechted it. Does it make a difference what you do with the behemoth of Klayim? Whether you shecht it, you sell it? Either one you're going to be chayv dalvei. Why does it say dafka and you shechted the behemoth of Klayim? Klayim b'tvicha isa b'mechira lesa? What, is Klayim only subject to tvicha, not mechira? Not ela, tana tvicha v'ad in the mechira. So what you have to say is that it gives one example, it gives the example of tvicha, but of course if you were to do mechira of the behemoth of Klayim, that would also work. And mimela, when it talks about a behemoth of trefa, it says mechira, but v'ad in tvicha, if you shech the trefa, it would also be chayiv dalvei, and it's going like the Rabbanan. Same in the Rabbananami, tana mechira v'ad in the tvicha, according to the Rabbanan also, it says mechira by the treifa, but tzvicha would also work, and the whole brisa could be going like the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan or Malach, Rabbi Yochanan would say, no, it can't be. Hai mai. If the brisa reflects the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, then I understand very well. If it's going like Rabbi Shimon, when you have a behemah treifa, there is no shechita. The only possibility of being chayv dal vehei is with mechira. So the only example it could give is mechira. So when it gives another example of klayim, it picks the other option. It picks the tvicha option. Even though ein ochinami, by klayim, either option would be fine. But since it already has to break it up, it already has to break up klayim from treifa, because treifa is only eligible for mechira, is not eligible for tvicha. So mela, we give the tvicha example we give the mechira example by treifa, because that's the only example that's no gaya to it. So we give the tvicha example by klayim. So we split it up that way. But if we're assuming like the Rabbanan that both Tvicha and Mechira are Shaykh to both the Treifa and to Klayim, Narvinu v'nisninu, let it say it as one big sentence. Why does it break it up into two separate sentences? Let it say, Gun of Klayim u Treifa, whether you steal Klayim or Treifa, Tvachan u Mecharan, whether you shecht it or you sell it, Mishayim tashlumi arba v'chamisha, you're chayv to pay dal v'hei. So kasha. So that's taka the difficulty on Reish Lakish. So that's how the Gemara. That's why Rabbi Yochanan thinks they have a kasha, that he has a kasha on Reish Lakish. So says the Gemara. Now we happen to have mentioned Klayim. Let's discuss what we know about Klayim. Klayim, how do I know that you're chayiv dalet vehei for a behem of Klayim? Klayim seksiv. Va'amar Rava zebnei av. Kalmakam shemar seh, enu el lahotzi as a Klayim. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, how can we say that you're chayiv dalet vehei on Klayim? Over here the Torah uses the word seh, and we know that Rava teaches us that wherever the word seh is used, we have a binyan av to teach us that it always comes to exclude Klayim. The Pasuk says, o shor, o seh, and typically whenever the word seh is used, it always means seh, but not Klayim, that it's always coming to exclude a behema of Klayim, because the Braisa talks about Sharo Kesav O'ez. The Pasuk says Yiratzel LeKarban Isha LaHashem. So the fact that it uses that, it says O twice. I'm going backwards over here. The Pasuk says Zosav Ema Shetochlu Shar Sek Savim V'Se Izin. Lechora could have just said Sek Savim V'Izin. Why does it say Sek Savim and Se Izim? Se again by Izim to Darshin that the Torah is telling us a Se Keves is Bifnei Atzma and Se'izim is bifnei atzma, that it needs its both of its parents either to be a keves or both of its parents to be an eiz. But if its parents are mixed together, then you're not able to bring it as a karban. So that's the limud we have by karbanos, and we say, okay, so we see from there, whenever the word se is used, it's always coming to exclude klayim. So why are you chayiv dal vehe by klayim? Says Gemara, shayni yacha, damar kra, o, l'rabel says a klayim. Because over here we have an extra word, o, to tell me to dafka include klayim. Fractal Gemara, kol o, l'rabos, u. Is every time the Torah uses the word o, coming l'rabos? V'atanya, but we have a brisa that darshins the exact opposite. Shar o kesev prat leklayim o eis prat lenidma, that shar o kesev comes to exclude klayim, Oez comes to exclude an animal that doesn't look like the same min as its father or mother. So like an animal that's born from an Ayel and a Rachel, and it looks like an Oez in its own right. So that's possible to use as a carbon. So you see the word O is used as a miyut, not the rabbos. And so Gemara, Amar Rava, hachamin yana dekrava, hachamin yana dekrava. You have to look at the context. Hachal gabe gneva, when it comes to gneva, dechsev shor oseh, shiat yachloti klayim ibineihem, the two animals that it gives are a shor and a seh, which cannot mate with each other, they cannot have a baby together, so klayim cannot come from a shor and a seh, so then, oh, l'rabos klayim. Then the O is going to be l'rabos, because even if it would have said shor viseh, it would imply each one on its own, because it can't imply klayim, it can't imply an animal that's both a shor and a seh, because that doesn't happen, they can't mate with each other, so that's why the O must be l'rabos klayim. But kabikachim d'chsev kesev ve'ez, two animals that can mate with each other, shayat yachlotzi klayim ibneihem, where you can have klayim come from the two of them. Therefore, if it wouldn't have said oh, it would have said vih, I would have thought that it's coming to include klayim. That's why oh is the ma'itu. When it says oh, it's coming to tell me to exclude klayim from the parsha. So it all depends on context. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up from the top of Amud Aleph tomorrow.